The following is a presentation of the best of Car Talk. Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Holiday Shopping Channel here at Car Talk
right.
Plaza.
HSC. I just thought, I mean, since holiday shopping season is really upon us now, I thought it would be an appropriate time to make a few gift suggestions. That is, gifts that you can buy for me.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I know you want to get me the Best of the Car Talk CD. I mean, it's a million seller because you've got a million in your cellar, but I don't want that anymore. You could, like, get me the 65 AMC Ambassador convertible that you once sent to the Crusher. You know? It's just a suggestion. If you can't find a 65 Ambassador, I'll take a 1940 Buick convertible.
Right. Rave on. No, I'll put them both on the list.
Okay.
Rest assured.
Fine.
They'll be
the
in the bottom of the list.
Yeah,
I
could tell that.
No, and I'm working my way down. I mean,
sure.
Last year I got to that quick dry cement thing.
That was, it was certainly a creative gift.
It wasn't designed for hair.
I didn't get two of them. I mean, a lot of times you get two things. I didn't get two of them.
Now, I know this is usually the time of the show where you read a letter.
Yeah.
But I feel compelled to read a piece of this letter. I mean, it's rather lengthy.
Oh, no. Don't read the whole thing. Come on. Da-da-da-da-da-da down to the third paragraph.
Well, this is a letter from a gal named Margaret Gibson who's looking for some piece of Car Talk paraphernalia.
Yeah.
And I will just read a couple of paragraphs.
Sure.
Which are... I think, rather touching.
Yeah.
Picture, okay, if you will, Christmas morning at the Fitch family home. The family is gathered around the tree, a fire in the fireplace, carols sounding softly in the background, the smell of fresh coffee brewing in Mom's homemade caramel pecan upside-down rolls warming in the oven. The grandchildren's shrieks of delight at Santa's generosity ring through the air, da-da-da-da-da, and she says, enough to make the Brady Bunch gag. Suddenly, pop! Is handed his Christmas stocking.
Yeah.
All eyes are upon him, anticipating the surprises that await within. He reaches in, and beyond the usual airline bottles of Chivas and orange wool socks and cologne, something else, something different, lies waiting for his discovery. He reaches in. We hold our breath. He gasps, oh boy, a genuine cheap plastic piece of junk Car Talk coffee mug. Tears come to his eyes.
Yeah.
God bless us everyone, he says.
That's good.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Marcia from Export, Pennsylvania.
Marcia with an S-H or a C-I-A?
C-I-A.
CIA. She works for the CIA.
Oh, I knew it. She sounded sneaky to me.
And where are you from?
Export, Pennsylvania.
Export.
Mm-hmm.
Where, pray tell, is that?
About 25 miles east of Pittsburgh.
Okay. Oh, way out west.
Yeah.
Way out west.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys ride horses out there still?
Oh, absolutely.
Wear guns on your hips?
Of course.
Do you want to talk about cars, or do you have something more interesting to talk about?
Well, I was going to talk about my car.
Okay.
I have a 96 Blazer, and I took it in to have it winterized about a year ago, and my mechanic flushed the radiator. And since then, it gurgles. You start up, and it goes glug, 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 glug. And then you slow down, and it goes glug, 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 glug. And it's kind of behind the radio.
Yeah.
In the middle of the dash.
That's exactly where it is, yeah.
So he said there was nothing he could do about it. So I took it to the dealer, and they said I could either flush the radiator for $100 or have a super flush for $200. So I got the $100 deal, and that didn't solve the problem. So we went back to the dealer again, and he said you could have the $200 flush or a $500 heater coil repair. So,
I love it.
The stakes are getting higher and higher.
Right.
I love this.
So what do?
None of the above.
None of the above.
Did anyone try to explain to you, which I think they would have failed at, what's causing the gurgling?
No.
And they said, if you have the flush, it's going to get rid of the gurgling.
Right.
And
but they also told me if I didn't do anything about it, it would start leaking in my car eventually.
Oh, that's a lie.
Okay.
That's skullduggery of the first order.
But good skullduggery. Well, here's what's going on. The first guy who did the job didn't purge the system of all the air. And what you're hearing is
the glugging. The glug factor.
Exactly. If you were to take a quart of milk and tip the thing and pour it into a pan, you'd hear the thing go glug 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 as the air and the milk try to get past each other.
Right.
Okay. Well, you're hearing the same thing in your heater. You have air trapped in the heater core, and as the coolant is trying to get into the heater core and past the air, it's making the same kind of gurgling noise. And the reason it happens in a lot of vehicles is that the heater is placed much higher than the rest of the engine, than the rest of the cooling system, in fact.
Okay.
So where does the air go whenever you have air trapped in a system like this? It goes to the top.
Okay.
So they have to bleed the system, and if they were patient and ran the thing and watched the air bubbles come out and carefully added more coolant and more coolant and more coolant until the bubbles stopped coming out, the gurgling would go away. Eventually, the air will work its way out of the system.
Okay, it's been about a year now.
It probably will never get out of the system. Here's what I would recommend. I would recommend that you take it back to guy one.
Okay.
Tell him what the problem is. In some instances where we have trouble bleeding these, we will actually jack up the front of the vehicle to make the radiator cap higher than the heater. And that usually gets the air out. And it may take him an hour to do it, but if that's what it takes... That's what it takes, and I'd go and complain. That's what our customers do when we make mistakes.
And the fact that the dealer, I would never go back to that dealer again because they tried to sell you a heater core to get rid of the glug, glug, glugs, and that was absolutely unconscionable. And, yes, you might have gotten rid of the glug because they would have had to jack up the car to do this.
Yeah, go back to the first guy and tell him what to do.
Okay.
See you, Marcia.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
I'm never going to the Blazer dealer in Export PA.
or Export PA, for that matter. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-CAR-TALK, which is 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dave Barker in Kansas City.
Hey, Dave.
Dave. Kansas
Dave.
City.
That's Dave with a D, right, Dave?
Dave with a D.
All right, I'm cooking now.
It's Kansas with a C, yeah.
Yeah.
And city with an S.
So
that's why they call it KC.
Actually, there are two of them. There's a Kansas City, Kansas, and a Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah.
Well, we
Which
know.
One are you from?
Oh, we're on the Missouri side.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk to you then. So what's happening?
Well, my car is trying to kill me.
Ah.
And I thought maybe if I talk to you guys, we could solve the problem.
We could talk him out of it.
Does your car know my brother's wife?
What kind of a car is it?
It's a 1994 Volvo 850. I don't know what you call this in a car, the HVAC system, the air conditioning and heating.
Yeah. HVAC.
Okay, every time I turn on the fan on that thing, I come away with this hacking, racking cough that lasts for hours and then finally goes away and doesn't come back until I turn the fan back on.
And it makes no difference whether the AC is on or the heat.
No, it'll do it for both.
Yeah.
How long has this been going on, Dave?
Well, I think probably 6 months or so. At first, I thought I was telling all my friends that my car was trying to give me Legionnaire's disease, but that's...
Oh, how close you are, man.
Yeah.
How close you are.
I thought that I thought that was funny to say that, and then I also thought it was probably coincidental that when I was in the car and came out of it, but now I'm convinced that it's linear and there's something something evil that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I don't.
It's probably
true. There's no doubt in my mind that you have some kind of mold spores or some other allergen growing in there.
Uh-oh.
I'll tell you, my wife owns a Volvo. And, well, I guess together we own the Volvo, but I seldom drive it. But when I do, the same thing happens to me.
Oh.
If I turn on the heat or the air conditioning or whatever, and the stuff is blowing in my face, after about 3 minutes, I begin to get a tickling in my throat and I have difficulty breathing. The same thing I would experience if I came in contact with a dog to which I was allergic.
I think it's from the dry ice in the back seat.
You think so? So I'm convinced that something is growing in her car, which is eventually going to kill the driver. But since I don't drive it very often, I'm really not that worried about it. But I think you have the same problem that she has. And I would try to kill it with Lysol.
Ah, Lysol.
How would you go about it? One of the things I thought was if I could shoot some disinfectant into this thing, it might do it. Trouble is, I don't know where to put it.
Well, you'd put it in the fresh air scoop, which is right where your windshield wiper blades are.
You know that, right up by the windshield,
the
on the outside of the car,
okay,
there's a little cross-hatched thing all the way across the front of the car.
Yeah, there's a cowl that's covered with screening.
Okay.
And you can run the air conditioner, and you can spray all the heat and spray the stuff in there while it's running.
And hopefully it'll kill whatever is in there.
Well, that's the...
You might have to do it a few hundred times.
not to mention the health risk associated with inhaling Lysol.
Well, you're not going to be in the car when you do this.
But you will be inhaling that stuff. So you I'm always questioning messing with nature.
Yeah. Is the cure more dangerous? Yeah.
It's like spraying for West Nile virus mosquitoes.
Right.
So we save 7 lives and kill... We give 25 million people brain lesions.
Well, how about if I open all the doors and windows?
Well, that's what I would do. I would open all the doors and windows, run the engine. You don't have to run the engine, but you could just run the fan and spray away.
I will try that.
Yeah, the alternative is taking the whole inside apart and cleaning it out.
No.
Which doesn't guarantee that it's not going to come back, and it's also very expensive.
Yeah, I can imagine. I try to keep the dealers at arm's length.
Well, it's not the dealer that's expensive. It's the chiropractor that you're going to need after you do it yourself and bend your back all twisted around.
But try this stuff. It may help, but I wouldn't use too much of it.
I will try it.
Good luck. Let us know how you make up.
I will. Thanks.
Thanks,
all right.
Dave.
That's good. That way you build up a tolerance to the Lysol.
Well, you can clean your toilet with the stuff, right? Your bathroom is not much smaller than your car.
I don't like
bigger.
It.
You don't like it.
Well, I don't breathe what's in my toilet. I don't.
No, but the Lysol, if you spray Lysol on the shower and whatever else, isn't that what it's for?
I don't like it.
Dave will be fine.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sharon from Cortez, Colorado.
Cortez, Colorado. How nice.
It is.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been there, but it sounds nice.
It's very close to Mesa Verde.
I've been there.
Well, then you know where Cortez is.
I must have gone right through it.
I'm sure you did.
Must have been memorable, too.
You probably blinked.
I may have. What's up, Sharon?
Well, I have a question that's semi-automotive, but more about male psychology. And I thought that you are experts in that area and could help.
Juvenile psychology is actually our specialty. But we'll give male psychology a shot.
Yeah. Does your question involve the words, hey, watch this? Go ahead.
No. What my question is I always would like to have a big Christmas wreath with a large bow on the front of my car. And every year my husband talks me out of it. And I see it as an expression of holiday cheer and you know, goodwill.
And he says you're going to interfere with the flow of air to the radiator.
He does. He also has several other things that he thinks will happen as a result of this.
Yeah.
He says it's going to cause the engine to overheat, that mm-hmm. it's going to suck in pine needles, and then he thinks it's going to void the warranty on the car. And I told him it couldn't.
Because no one will know.
Well, no, people drive all over with wreaths on their car, and if that was really happening, I'm assuming they wouldn't do it.
What kind of a car is it?
It's a Tahoe.
Yeah. Well, this is a classic case of theory versus practice.
Okay.
Right?
I would say so.
Your husband, theoretically, is crazy. That just slipped out.
So theoretically, he's 100% correct.
Yeah.
And in fact, it will impede the flow of air. In fact, it could cause the engine to overheat.
Mm-hmm.
So he's right on all counts. Practically speaking, however.
All right. That's what I'm waiting for.
You know, because women are practical.
Certainly.
And you sound very practical.
Is your husband an engineer?
No, he's a doctor.
Oh, that's even
the
worst.
The worst kind. Doctors know so little about science. I mean, it's the absolute truth. They have no idea about anything, and yet they think of themselves as scientists.
Well, they are scientists.
It just goes
obviously.
To show you that the body is nothing like a car.
But you're telling me it's okay.
Well, in fact, I for many years used to attach a wreath to the front of my Dodge Dakota pickup truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
With chicken wire. You know, with stuff called mechanics wire. And I used to weave the stuff through the grill. And mm-hmm. it only required a couple of points to attach it. It didn't have any lights on it.
You didn't have lights?
And don't forget, most of the wreath is a hole. Right? Most of the wheat is nothing. I mean, even
and even the parts of it that aren't a whole
are
very porous, so to speak. I mean,
and they're going to allow plenty of air to get through, especially in the winter.
Well, now, when you say you used to, what made you stop?
Well, I blew the engine.
Yeah, the chances of it having any effect that anyone would ever notice, including your engine, are practically zero.
Yeah, now, if you lived in the southern hemisphere and it were 90 degrees on Christmas, I would say that I would not do it.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, but because it's cold, you've got that advantage.
And so your husband, I mean, let's be gentle with the guy because he thinks he knows something here, and we don't want to shatter.
No, I would use the approach that Tom and Ray agreed with you on every point.
Yes. And they told me to go ahead and do it anyway and tell you what Tom's wife tells him. Oh, shut up.
Okay.
Good luck, Sharon.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
I'll get the wreath tonight.
Good for you. Yeah, thanks for your call.
You mean you don't have it already?
No. I was waiting for your advice.
Oh, you're all...
What a woman.
I say you have full clearance.
Okay.
Yep.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Hi. All right, look, it's time to discuss last week's Puzzler, which was chock full of obfuscation, disinformation, misleading documentation, and schools of red herring.
Yes, it certainly threw me off the track. I'll tell you
Well, throwing you off the track would require that you were on the track at some point, and I'm not sure that...
Well, that's true, but remind me. What was the subject matter of the Puzzler?
Cement.
Cement? As in shoes?
No, as in factory. And we'll be back with the whole story in all its obfuscatory detail, plus more of your car questions in just a minute, so...
Please stay tuned.
Even though Ivan Pavlov reflexively rolls over in his grave to turn off the radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. A quick shout out to thank our sponsor, Emma. Now, these guys offer tools for email marketing. With Emma, you can create sophisticated automated email campaigns and deliver targeted messages to your audience. Well, you can. We just create our annoying Time Kill Weekly and Puzzler newsletters. Emma's interface is so intuitive. Even our Car Talk web lackeys have figured it out. Who would have thought? Your team can create great-looking emails in a drag-and-drop editor and track the results easily using an interactive click map that shows where people are clicking in your email. Emma is great for marketing teams or agencies who want to upgrade from the more DIY services but don't want the complexity and expense of an enterprise system. Give them a try at myemma.com. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and it's appropriate, the answer to last week's Puzzler. And this was sent in recently by a fellow named Aaron Ahuvian, and it came pre-obfuscated. In fact, you might even call it an obfuscatory masterpiece.
Really? You don't even have to listen for the first 10 minutes. You just let him roll.
Well, here it is.
Go ahead.
Aaron writes, "My work takes me to Padua, Italy, and one night after work, I went out to dinner with some friends to a nearby village called Este.
Yeah.
Well, the last train back to Padua left at 10:06, and I thought we had plenty of time since we left the restaurant at 9:45, and the train station was only a short walk away. However, after stopping for gelato and getting caught up in a conversation about carbon nanotubes, we missed the train. Not to worry, our host said, I know a shortcut to the next town. I can drive you there. We'll arrive before the train does, and you can catch a train from there."
Sounds good.
Right?
So far?
So far, not much obfuscation.
No.
Okay, and that was the first 10 minutes. So the six of us pile into her Fiat 500, and we go barreling down a back country road that was only one lane wide. What would happen, I asked, if a car came from the other direction? Well, they'd have to try to get out of the way, she said. Okie doke. Anyway, as this tiny country lane ends, our driver squeezes the car through two giant concrete blocks, which ensured that only the very smallest of vehicles could access the narrow road that we had just been on. Well, once we got between those concrete blocks, we found ourselves on the grounds of an enormous cement factory that was, of course, closed for the night. We drove through the factory grounds, and as we left, our driver started driving on the left side of the road, i.e. the wrong side, of what was clearly a two-lane road. Why are you driving on the wrong side of the road? I asked. Well, she said, I don't want to damage the car. That's odd, I thought, but then it made perfect sense to me. And the question is, why was driving on the wrong side of the road better for the car?
Wow.
Cement factory.
Cement factory.
Of course, she wasn't worried about hitting another car.
No.
But what she was worried about...
No. Give me a second here.
Cement factory. What is there about cement?
Cement trucks.
Cement trucks. There you go. Cement trucks going, leaving. When they're leaving,
they're heavy.
They're full of cement.
Full of cement, and so they're going to dig a hole.
They ruin the road.
Right.
So the road leaving the factory, that right-hand lane, is ruined.
Right.
It's all full of potholes, and it's all rutted. And the other side, where the trucks are entering empty,
yeah,
the road is fine. Well, finer, and thus less damaging. So driving on the left-hand side of the road is better for her car because it's not damaging the car because the cement trucks aren't wrecking that side of the road. They're wrecking the side of the road where they leave full.
Excellent.
So who's our winner?
Our winner this week is Paul Long from Edgewood, Kentucky, and for having his answer selected at random. From all the correct answers that we got, Paul's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get a set of Car Talk reusable shopping bags.
Hey, you know, these are turning out to be very popular at the supermarkets, at least among people who like to be mocked while they shop.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, congratulations, Paul, for being this week's Puzzler winner. And if you didn't win this week, stay tuned because we have a new Puzzler coming up. In the meantime, we'll take your calls. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Is that enough digits? Is that enough numbers? I don't know.
Yeah,
hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Jonathan from Blacksburg, Virginia.
Hi, Jonathan.
Jonathan.
From Blacksburg.
Yes.
What's up, Jonathan?
Well, my Volvo sort of drags its butt. Got a Volvo wagon, and the back end sags, and this is after I replaced the springs.
Huh?
I got an 85 760, but it was originally a turbo diesel, and the guy who had it previously had blew the engine in that, and he really loved the car, so I had it replaced with a gas engine.
So that's what you have now. You have this car with a gas engine.
Right.
It had been a diesel.
It's a 760.
760 wagon.
Well,
real nice, leather, everything.
That explains it.
How?
Yeah, it does.
It does explain it because the back end isn't dragging. The front end is elevated.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking. Diesel weighs more, right?
That's right. Yeah. It has different springs.
Or someone has stolen the engine completely.
What you need to do, you need to sandbag this thing. You need to put sandbags on the two front fenders.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you need to change the front springs.
Right. That's what. This is all after I replaced all the suspension on it, except for the front springs. I replaced rear springs, rear shocks, front struts.
And you did this primarily because the back end was dragging?
No, it needed it.
Oh, that's good to know.
That's what you told your wife, anyway.
That's what you should tell yourself as well. But you have to put a weaker spring in the front.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to go and buy the springs from Volvo that were designed for the you can buy them from whomever.
Right.
Junkyard.
Junkyard would be good.
This is a perfect item for a junkyard.
Or an auto recycling center.
Or if you can find one of those, yeah, what he said. Yeah, and that'll do it, I think.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you a lot.
See you,
thanks,
Jonathan.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. I am so excited to be on your show.
And so are we, Amy.
No, Nancy.
I got two of the letters there, though. Amy was A-M-Y, and you got an A and a Y in your name, unless you spell Nancy with an I, which
no,
you don't.
I absolutely don't.
The real good talk shows, the real good calling shows have a monitor on the, you know, on the table.
Right.
And flashed up on the screen is the name of the next caller.
Yeah, the next caller is Nancy. She's from Albuquerque, New Mexico,
no,
and her
I'm
question
not.
Is blah, 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 blah. Well, we don't have that monitor. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
So how are we supposed to know who you are? Get off our backs, will you?
Well, let me tell you who I am. I am Nancy. I'm from Marion Station, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I have a – actually, it's not my car. It's really my husband.
And you have a Saab.
No, a four-cylinder 96 Camry sedan.
Stop being so contrary. 96 Camry.
96 Camry, four-cylinder. That's important. And are you in the eastern center of – west end of Pennsylvania.
Right outside of Philadelphia.
That would be the middle,
Yeah.
Middle?
Far east.
Side.
Okay, and are you a marine biologist?
No.
We don't have anything right about her.
Well,
we
our
need
data,
a new monitor.
Our data is all wrong.
It's all wrong. You have to get your monitor to get better information.
Do you have two kids?
I do have two kids.
All right, finally.
Now guess their ages and sexes.
Okay, they're both girls and they're 3 and 11.
No, they're boys and they're 11 and 14.
Oh, I got one of them right.
you're about
getting better. We're getting better.
2% maybe.
So what's wrong with this piece of junk Camry?
What happened is this is my husband's car, and two times when I tried to start it, I could feel the energy draining as I was shifting from park into drive.
There you are. You turn the key.
You
start it
key,
up. It goes vroom.
You hear the vroom. And then as you start shifting it, it just kind of dies. The engine sound kind of just
diminishes.
Fades out.
Mm. Oh, and it stalls out?
And it stalls out.
Got it.
Okay. Didn't become a problem until he experienced it, and then he took it to the Toyota dealership and had it checked out. They thought it might be an electrical problem.
I don't think so.
It checked out fine. They said it wasn't, you know, the alternator, the ignition, the fuel line, everything was fine. They found nothing. And my husband says that if he really revs it up when he starts it, that it doesn't die on him. Yeah.
Well, tell him not to do that anymore.
Don't rev it up.
No.
No, it's better to have it die and restart than rev it like that.
The worst thing you can do to a car is to rev it up when the engine's cold, when you just start it up.
Okay.
That you can count the number of days you can do that before the engine dies.
Huh.
So you don't want to do that.
So what is it?
How the hell do we know?
Why did I call?
I don't know, because you wanted to waste some time.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds to me like the engine, when it starts, is not revving quite fast enough.
Have any trouble with the boys? We have boys ourselves.
We have boys. We've had 11 and 14-year-old boys. We could help you with a question about them. they're probably still human. Is that right? 11 and 14?
Semi-human.
It
varies.
Yeah, the 14-year-old is fast fading.
It's going to get so much worse. Man, you're going to wonder.
Okay.
Why you brought them into this world.
Why did I do this?
Well, I've thought of that.
No, they're going to hate you. No, you haven't. No, you can't comprehend the full force of their hatred for you.
Oh, you can't. Oh, man.
You will be despised beyond your wildest dreams.
I mean, when we were first married, my wife said that she wanted to have kids, and I was violently opposed to it. I said, why would you want to do that to yourself? This is ridiculous. And she convinced me that it was probably a great, wonderful thing to do. I mean, it was God's will, and nature wanted this.
And motherhood ran in her family,
right. Her mother was a mother. Her mother's mother had been a mother. And so she convinced me to do this. And I remember it was when my son was about 15 that she leaned over one day and whispered in my ear, you were right.
How old is he now?
I think he's about 40.
No.
No, he's 18.
And has it gotten better?
He's turned the corner. He's turned the corner. He's become human again.
Yeah.
But I can't attest to it. But it seems as though that's true.
Yeah. Well, we can go back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then let me ask you a question. Do I discuss my car problem with a psychologist?
I think so. You got as much chance of getting an answer.
Here's what I would do. I would take it to the same guys who said everything was okay.
Right.
And I would leave it with them overnight.
Yeah.
And I would ask them to start it from cold in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And find out what the RPMs are in the morning. And they will discover that they're too low.
Yeah, here's what's wrong with it. You have a faulty coolant temp sensor. That's my gut feeling.
That's good. That's
and
good.
They, and they should put the ohm meter on this thing. There's a chart that when they look it up, they may have it even memorized, that'll tell you at this temperature, the coolant temp sensor should have this many ohms.
Okay. Then if it isn't that, then what's the next step?
Oh, geez. Well, I mean.
Well, you call us back. I mean, we can't go dealing with hypothetical questions. Nancy, we're very, very busy.
Good luck with those boys, and remember what we told you.
I will remember yeah. it.
When they hate you, remember, it's not them talking, it's the little devils that live in them.
Thank you. That's very reassuring.
See you, Nancy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Glenn.
Hi.
Glenn, where are you from?
I am from New Orleans, Louisiana.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, really, if I can get rid of the mice in my Miata.
Mice in the Miata.
I've got mice in my Miata. Recently, the latest thing they chewed is they chewed through the windshield wiper fluid container, or reservoir. I'm sorry, I'm speaking to experts.
No kidding.
The mechanic that I took it into found like a little nest in there. And since then, I have found little things chewed, the latest thing, the windshield wiper fluid.
Well, interestingly, I had a neighbor who had planted a vegetable garden a few summers ago, when we had an especially dry summer. And he would come out every morning and find his tomatoes all eaten by animals. And he said, this had never happened before. And he realized that they were thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they were eating his vegetables, mainly his tomatoes, was that
they were
looking for water. So he put out a bucket of water.
And they left the stuff alone.
No, they ate them anyway. No, they did. They left
but
his...
it was a better dining experience for them. Obviously.
It was. Well, they had a more balanced meal. No, they left his stuff alone after that. They left his stuff alone.
Really?
So you may have discovered here that what they really want is water.
Well, the fact that they ate through the windshield washer fluid container.
Oh, they want soapy water.
Excuse me, reservoir.
I might have solved the problem with what they drank, let's face it. It can't be good for them.
Well, over the years, we have seen hundreds of cases of people that have come in with all kinds of nests, especially in their air cleaners.
Yeah.
Because little rodents, like mice, and I think maybe even squirrels or chipmunks or whatever, probably chipmunks, will get into the air duct and begin depositing nuts.
Oh, God.
Mm.
Oh, no.
I would suggest trying mothballs.
Mothballs?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mothballs.
What do they do?
Well, they don't eat much.
No, I mean, they take up space and they don't eat much. I thought that was gerbils.
No, you might try putting... I mean, I've suggested to a few people that they put mothballs in the air cleaner housings.
Oh, okay.
And they somehow affix a few mothballs underneath the hood someplace. It might make enough of an offensive... aroma to them that they won't come back.
This is true.
I mean, after all, yours is not the only car in the world. If they don't nest in your car,
it's the lowest corner to ground, though, that they can get into. I'm going to be taking a trip with the Miata, too. And now I've heard from my brother, and you know how brothers are.
Yeah.
That the Miata is not built for a long trip to Portland, Oregon from New Orleans. It's just not built for that.
Well, built in the sense that it can withstand the trip.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it can withstand the trip. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
I'd want to ride in that
shape.
Car from New Orleans to Portland, Oregon.
The
with
car will certainly
dog,
make it.
Too.
The what?
With a small beagle.
Oh, for company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't worry about the car, and you have to worry about yourself.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people have driven little cars like that.
What are you planning this trip for next summer?
This is going to be in February, mid-February.
What are you, nuts?
Oh, Glenn!
Oh, no, you need, no.
No, there's snow up there.
Your brother's right.
But, no, I was going to go down lower part of the United States and then cut up the coast, California coast.
I suppose you could miss all the snow. You're right.
I'm going to try for it.
You could miss the snow.
Yeah, if you were going to miss all the snow, then I'd say go for it.
Hmm.
Sure. I would say do it.
Okay.
Good luck, Glenn.
Thanks a lot.
And good luck with your little BC mices.
I'll let you know how the mice thing turns out.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck. Well, at the very least, you get to displace a few of them. You'll get to take them from New Orleans to...
Hey, this is true.
Wherever.
I hope they travel well, too. It'll be like a little Noah's Ark.
Well, they may want to take their beagle along, too.
The beagle, the mice. Yeah, it'll be cute. Good luck, Glenn.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is how things start. I mean, this is how the snakes got to Guam, right?
Exactly. Right? Somebody's luggage or something. I don't know.
All right, Tommy, it's time for us to take a little break so that local stations can identify themselves.
Did you hear that? All you people working at the local stations, wake up, take those earplugs out, get your feet off the desk, we're going to take a break, identify yourselves.
That's why they call our show user-friendly.
We'll be back with the new puzzler in just a minute. Remember the guy who used to be on, wake up!
There's a 5 o'clock whistle now, I'm finally through. I think I'll stop off and have a drink or two. This rush hour traffic's kind of hard to beat, turning left down a one-way street. There's an old 88 and a Mercedes, a Miami tag saying Florida Keys. The lights turn red, it's looking like I'm stuck beside a girl in a pickup truck. A pretty girl in a pickup truck, I'll weave her down with a little bit of love. I've had my fun on the line tonight. Got a pretty girl in a truck inside. She's blonde-headed, blue-eyed, don't wear no makeup. 5'10", tall enough to break up. She's a mighty tough stuff, a model of luck. She's a pretty girl in a pickup truck.
And even though the three little pigs wish the big bad wolf would blow down our broadcast tower whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. A quick shout out to one of our sponsors, Casper. They're an online retailer for mattresses. Now, Casper mattresses are American-made and obsessively engineered for comfort, so you can fall asleep during the first few seconds of our show and not have to toss and turn until the first call before nodding off. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give just the right amount of sink and bounce. Think 82 Lincoln Town Car. The best thing is that they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days with free delivery and returns. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price, so go to casper.com/cartalk to check out their options. They even have a special offer for listeners of this podcast. Use the promo code CARTALK and get another $50 off. And we promise they won't try to sell you the rust proofing. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Go.
Now, this may come as a shock to some of our listeners, but a few months ago, Tommy and I each went out and bought identical sports cars because we like to drag race. And as luck would have it, one day...
This is fiction, is it not?
Well, believe what you want.
Because I didn't get my sports car.
And one day, in fact, the hottest day last summer, I'm driving along in my car, and I come to a traffic light, and it's hot, man, it's hot. And I've got the windows up and the AC on, and I got the stereo turned up full blast. And who should pull up next to me? Tommy. Well, he's a hot weather freak, so he doesn't have the AC on. In fact, he's got all the windows open, the sunroof open. He's got the stereo playing full blast. And I call him on the cell phone, and I say, hey, knucklehead, you want to drag race to the next light? Yeah, he says, wait a minute, I got to turn the radio down. And he says, of course. Mm-hmm. Now, assuming that the cars are identical, because they are, and assuming that our skills are identical, the light turns green, we both floor it.
Mm-hmm.
Who wins the race? And why? Now, if you think you know the answer.
Wow, I love it.
Write it on a Honda HS724TA dual-stage snowblower with single-cylinder air-cooled four-stroke overhead valve engine, automatic compression release, one-handed clutch control operation, hydrostatic transmission, and auger height adjustment pedal.
And what's that worth?
A couple of G's, I think. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Ed. I'm from Olympia, Washington.
Olympia is the capital of Washington, you know.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Oh, you knew that.
Yep. And it's also home to Evergreen State College, where I go to school.
Cool. Evergreen State College.
But doesn't that sound peaceful?
It is. It's really nice. It's in the woods.
What are you studying, pray tell?
Music.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that sounds... Oh, Ed, it sounds idyllic. Music and pet grooming.
Music. What in particular? A specific instrument or theory or what?
I in a composition class right now, and so I'm composing a lot of music.
Ah, how many instruments do you play?
I play a lot. Anything I can get my hands on, pretty much.
Piano?
No, not really. But I do have a piano assignment coming up, actually.
Oh, I'm sure you'll be a virtuoso in a matter of weeks.
But when you compose, don't you sit at the piano to do it?
No, actually, I don't. I do a lot of it in my head.
Oh, my pal Phil Thayer used to be able to sit down and write out, if you had a song you wanted to play on the piano, Phil would sit down with his paper, you know, with the lines on it, and he'd write down for piano. I played the piano when I was a kid. He'd write down the right hand and the left hand, and he'd put all the measures in and the rests and all that. He didn't need no stinking piano. And he'd say, play this. I'd say, how do you know it's right? And it always was.
It always was.
Yeah,
wow.
he just knew. So he was pretty good. And
man, I'd give my right arm to play the piano.
Yeah, but you would. So anyway, Ed, what's going on?
Well, my mom is a teacher at a high school, and she knows the shop teacher who they get cars donated to them all the time for the kids to work on.
Yeah, to play with. Yeah.
Yeah. So they got this van, and it's a 1986 GMC Vandura 2500.
Yep. Know it well.
Know it well.
Okay. So, and they got the van and they fixed it up and then sold it to my mom. And this is in Wisconsin. And we moved out to Olympia, Washington. So we used the van to drive out here. And now, you know, I'll be driving along. And then as soon as I slow down or let off the gas, it makes this like clickety, 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 kind of like a playing card in a spoke of a bicycle. And I think it's coming from the front. And it also happens when you turn right.
Could be coming from the wheels?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking more, maybe the wheels.
And as you slow down more and more, does the noise slow down in frequency?
A little bit.
Number of beats per measure.
It's pretty kind of beats per measure, yeah.
What is it, like 6/8 time?
Yeah, well, it's probably 4/4 time, you know, quarter note.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it affected by your stepping on the brakes?
Yes.
If you step on the brakes, it goes away.
Oh, no.
No, it comes.
It comes.
That's good.
It is good?
Oh, yeah, that's better.
That's good for us.
All right.
Yeah, because we have an answer. Play the music, Ted. Gee, I mean,
so it does, the frequency does decrease as you slow down.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you have a warped disc rotor.
Ah.
And this had nothing to do with those kids who rebuilt the thing in Wisconsin.
No, they did a nice job.
No, I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
So I would take it someplace because it might be dangerous.
What's this? What do you think it'll cost me?
Oh, if it's both discs, probably a few $100.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm so poor right now, I can't even pay attention.
Yeah, but you got to pay attention because if this rotor is actually split in half, that wouldn't be pretty.
Now, you can go and buy used ones at a recycling center.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea.
A.K.A. junkyard. But do it, because your life is at stake.
Right. Well, I've been taking, you get a free bus pass with this when you're a student here, so I've been taking the bus a lot.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Excellent. Buses are the way to go.
See you later, Ed.
Bye-bye.
Hey.
Do you know what it's time for?
Time to start accepting euros at the Shameless Garments Division?
No, man. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! Our producers, in their infinite wisdom, occasionally invite a previous caller back onto the show to find out if our advice was actually helpful to him or her.
That's not really why they do it. They do it to embarrass us. So who's here this week?
Well, it says on the little sheet that I have that this week's contestant is Dana, who called us all the way from that hotbed of automotive misery, France, to tell us her little tale of woe and intrigue.
And now she's back to play Kung Fu Les Chumps.
Yes. Now, Dana wasn't the one with the car problem. She was calling on behalf of her friend Hans, a German engineer who, with the aid of a forklift, oh, I remember this!
Oh,
he put his prized possession, a one-ton chunk of the Berlin Wall, in the back of his father's brand-new BMW 7 Series. He put it in the trunk, as I remember.
He had it loaded, and then he drove to France with it. But he couldn't get it out of the car, and his dad wanted the car back. What a knucklehead.
Yeah,
now, they're going to have to use buoyancy. They're going to have to fill the trunk.
They'll float the concrete. Is that it?
They're gonna, you know what they're going to fill it with? Mercury.
That hunk of rock will jump right on it.
It will. You'll have to watch out. You might land on your toes.
Sure.
Yeah. Either that or he's going to buy a ton of suction cups. Well, I think our best suggestion was to drill some holes in the chunk, cement in a U-shaped piece of rebar, and lift it out with a hoist. That was a pretty good suggestion, don't you think?
Doesn't matter what I think. The question is, what did Hans think? Dana, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Now, before you tell us how Hans got the chunk out of the trunk.
Okay.
Chunk out of the trunk. I like that. We need to be sure that you have not been offered any foul-smelling cheese by the French Board of Tourism in exchange for a non-wacko answer here today. Is that true?
No, I tried.
You tried.
You tried.
Mm.
Okay. So where is that chunk of the Berlin Wall as we speak?
Well, am I allowed to say Dummkopf on the radio?
Sure, you can do anything you want.
Okay. Well, your answer was Dummkopf.
Well, it's got to get a point or two for creativity.
Absolutely. No, I think, as you just said, you gave us three options, and the first one was to float the piece of the Berlin Wall out of the trunk using mercury.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
We rejected that one as just being a bit over the budget.
Okay.
And the second was to put 1,000 suction cups onto it and lift it out, and that was also a bit over budget.
That
so
was
we
over budget.
That one over you.
Yeah.
And the rebar
and
with
the third was to drill a couple of holes into the piece of the Berlin Wall and then cement in a piece of rebar and then lift it out with a hoist or something.
Yeah.
And we couldn't do that one either, but it was because of something I didn't actually tell you.
So what was that?
Oh, what was that?
The problem is the Berlin Wall had two sides, right? The west side and the east side. And the west side, of course, was covered with anti-Soviet,
right,
anti-communist, Western graffiti.
Don't, and don't tell me it was West Side Up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you couldn't possibly mess with that.
No, and we could have put, if they'd put it
Wait,
in.
Wait, did Hans get it out of the car?
Yes, and where is it now?
They put the back end of the BMW up on the hoist a bit and jiggled it to get the piece of the Berlin Wall as close to the front of the trunk as possible.
Yeah.
And then they turned the car around and put the front end up on the hoist,
yeah,
right? And so, and then they had built this little wedge out of reinforced stuff, and they put that in the back of the trunk between the lip of the trunk and the edge of the
and
wall.
And they rolled it out.
No. And then they crowbarred the piece of the Berlin Wall up onto this wedge, and then they slowly lifted the car up from the front end and crowbarred and crowbarred and crowbarred, and it finally fell out on the floor.
And broke into a million pieces.
No.
And now it's Berlin dust.
That's Berlin dust.
And then, yeah, so now it's sitting on the floor of the garage.
Well, then they realized that they didn't actually have a method of getting it back to the house, so it's still sitting at the BMW garage.
The garage. Excellent.
Yes. There was actually less damage to the piece of the Berlin Wall than there was to the trunk of the car.
Yes, and in fact, when we discussed the crowbar approach, we said we can't do that because we would wreck the end of the car.
Well, it wasn't wrecked, but there was a fair bit of cosmetic reconstruction, let's put it
so
that
to
way.
Speak,
see,
yeah.
I think the mercury solution, I mean, you could have bought the mercury, floated the thing out, and then returned the mercury.
Oh, of course, it would have
cost
you nothing.
What color would the car have been after they'd done that?
No color. The mercury wouldn't have stuck to anything. You ever try to get mercury to stick to anything?
It wouldn't either wreck the paint?
No, mercury doesn't do anything. It's as inert as can be.
It's
sort of like my brother's brain. Nothing, nothing's going on in there.
Well, Dana, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Yes, thanks for all your help.
Yeah, don't mention it. Call us anytime.
Anytime. Okay. In fact, don't call us. We'll call you.
Très bien.
So long.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-227-8255 or 1-888, what is that? Car Talk.
Car Talk, yeah.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Leanne from Berkeley.
Is that an L-E-A-N-N-E?
Exactly.
That's how I wrote it.
Okay.
Okay, Leanne. Are you a student or a teacher or neither?
I'm a teacher.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I recently got married, and I wanted a key to my husband's car. So I had a new key made, and we had just gotten back from a trip, and we needed to go to the store. So I said, okay, I'll use my new key. And so I put the key in, and it was a little bit of a struggle to turn the key, but it turned and it started. And I pushed in the clutch, and it made this awful grinding, like a spoon in the blender kind of grinding sound.
Uh-huh.
And then once I released the clutch and started going, it was fine. And then I came to a stop sign, and I pushed the clutch in again, and it made this awful grinding sound. And I thought, you know, the clutch is going out. So I drove to the store, and then my husband was with me. And we said, well, maybe it's something with this key. You know, it's the only thing that's different. And so we tried the regular key, and it worked fine.
Oh, baloney. Stop it. Stop it. Don't. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's what we thought. So we wondered what was wrong with it.
Have you since used the new key, or
no.
you threw it in the river, right?
We haven't used it at all because we thought it was damaging something. So.
Yeah. Jeez. What yeah. kind of a Volkswagen is it?
Well, it's a 91 Nissan Pathfinder.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make, Volkswagen makes them now.
Well, Secret Alliance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez, interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Leanne,
yeah.
This doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does make perfect sense. What's happening is your key is not returning from the crank position.
Okay.
And every time you step in the clutch, you re-engage the starter motor because the key doesn't allow the ignition switch to return to the run position fully. If you were to take that key and just nudge it backwards a hair.
Okay.
Okay, it would work fine. Because
run a piece of tin foil over it or something.
Well, I would take it back to the key person.
Okay.
The key person. I would take it back to the key person and tell that person what happened.
All right.
And I bet he or she will fix it for you. They'll buff the key up a little bit.
Okay.
But did your husband blame you for this?
No, he didn't blame me.
He didn't?
He was amazed that I actually thought it was the new key, though. He thought, oh, no, it couldn't be the new key.
Well, that, you know, it's a wonderful testimony to his love and affection. And the fact that he's
not... You married 2 weeks?
We've been married 4 months.
Four months. No, yeah. But it doesn't matter how long you've been married.
Right.
At least he didn't blame you.
No, he didn't blame me.
This bodes well for a long and loving relationship.
Don't ever let go of this guy.
Okay.
This guy is perfect.
He's...
They don't make him like that anymore.
Okay.
See you later.
If you don't believe me, ask my wife.
See you later.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Khyber Pass, Striped Bass, Wheatgrass, Demi-Tasse, and Pheasant Under Glass, World-Class Gorge and Gas, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our press secretary is Don B. Zonozzi. Our appointment secretary is Amadeus O. Early. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before. Our anger management counselor, oh no, she's not in there yet. Our marine forecaster is Caesar Choppy. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The Paint Diaz family has the week off.
Yeah.
But the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragging. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham and Howe is Lewis Dewey, known to the slightly scary Salvation Army Santas in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and remember, don't drive like Tommy.
Don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1448, download other fine episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. This week featuring a great way to ring out the old and ring in the new.
Did NPR finally cancel us?
No, not yet. I'm talking to people who have a used vehicle that they no longer need.
Ring out the old car.
Right. If you donate a used car before the end of the year, not only will the proceeds benefit your favorite radio station, but you'll also get a tax deduction for this year.
Yeah, offset some of those illegal gambling receipts. Oops, did I say that with my outside voice?
Get all the details of the Car Talk vehicle donation program anytime at our website, cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the Three Stooges complain that NPR is getting too lowbrow for their taste, whenever we say it, this is NPR.